Welcome to the Visible Coaches podcast. I'm Angela Durant and you'll meet Anke Herman a little later. Between us, we have 30 years of business experience. We've started and grown our businesses from nothing but an idea, learning to play to our strengths as introverts in what often feels like an extrovert world. If you have ever felt any resistance to how others tell you you have to market yourself or bare your soul on social media just to get clients, then this podcast is for you. We know the unique challenges that introverted coaches face when it comes to selling their services. So, if you're ready to learn how to spot those golden opportunities right under your nose, clarify your message, nurture that market, and get more business coming your way, all without sacrificing your energy levels or well-being, then plug your AirPods in and let's go.
Well, welcome to Message and Momentum Weekly. It's lovely to see some new faces, but older faces that I haven't seen in a while, as it were, and some of our clients. Members as well from the Visible Club. So lovely to have you all here today. So just to give you an overview of how the hour is going to run, the 45 minutes. We've got a couple of minutes afterwards as well in questions. So just to run through some housekeeping first of all. So our topic today, we run these weekly. So our topic today is strategic visibility. And Anke and I will be talking about that just for about the next, we're just going to riff on this topic with some of our own learnings around this for the next sort of just about 10-15 minutes or so. And then the whole point is we're going to open it up for questions and to answer and to give some help to you around this or to come with a different perspective. You will have registered for this to be on here today. So you will also have access to the other Message and Momentum Weeklies within the Heartbeat community. At the same time, so you can always go back and have a look at some of the others. We've done a couple of different topics so far, and we're going to be choosing a different topic every single week that's either that's really strategic around messaging or about creating that level of momentum that makes bringing in sales a whole lot easier. If you could mute yourself, that would be awesome. Just to keep some background noise down, that would be fab. And so we're going to kick off. So if you've got any questions, then obviously just you can pop them in the chat. You can save them for when we have Q&A. But we're going to just unpack this topic of strategic visibility. And we'd also love to hear from you as well. You can pop it in the chat, maybe where you're calling in from or any particular questions around that as you go. And we'll just dive back into the chat afterwards and we'll start to answer people's questions. So Anke, you know this is one of my favourite topics, okay, strategic visibility. And I was talking to a friend of mine over the weekend because one of the most, I suppose, the interesting thing to me around messaging and around being, not just being visible, but being the person that other people choose. Isn't that the point? We you know, visibility for the sake of it means that you're a wonderful extrovert, but it's not necessarily going to lead to clients. So being visible in a strategic way that actually leads to the action that you want people to take, it's a thought out pipeline journey in my book. There's a real misunderstanding, I think, around the types of visibility that actually even create the types of clients that you want, or even how to use that visibility. We'll have a look at that in a moment. And also who we're visible to and who's visible to us is another question in this. No good you being visible to them, but you can't get them visible to you because you can't do anything with them. So over the weekend, because you can't see the label, as Anke says all the time when you're sitting in the jar, I was riffing about one of these topics with a friend of mine and happened to say, well, everybody always normally comes to me, but, you know, I seem to be visible to people for either messaging or speaking. That's where people have come to me in the past. But as we looked at the type of clients that I'd actually had and what I saw about every single one of them is, it didn't matter the journey that they took to get to me. The real reason they were coming to me was because they actually, the things that they were doing weren't selling themselves well enough. So they were visible, but it wasn't selling themselves. Either they weren't getting enough clients, or the type of clients that they wanted, or the positioning in the marketplace that they wanted. So does that make sense to everybody? It's like when we're talking about visibility, we can all do a bunch of stuff. We could spend our day doing a bunch of stuff. But if that's not leading to the way that you want to be seen online, the types of people that you want, or the sales that you want at the end of it, then there is something that we're missing around the strategy and around the way that visibility is working or not working for us. Anchor, I just want to bring you in here as I've kind of laid that topic out to get your take on what you've seen is the issues around strategic visibility, or people being visible or not being visible even, and what that is or isn't leading to.
Yeah, no, I love that. It's such an undervalued topic almost, right? And I think there's two pieces to it. Like, one is what is actually me? What does it even mean being visible? Like, you know, so often, you know, what I've even had brand posts, it's like, where the heck is out there, right? What I hear all the time is people like, oh, I just need to get out there. I need to put my stuff out there. So there is an assumption that just because it's available on the internet that somebody will pay attention. So in theory, you could be seen. It doesn't mean you actually are being seen. So that's number one. And number two is the piece that, okay, so if nobody books a call with me and nobody buys my stuff, it must mean they've not seen me. So it's like drawing the wrong conclusions, because there is like, yeah, well, that could be, you know, that could be part of the problem, that people haven't actually seen the thing, you know. But I would say more often than not, it goes more in the direction of what you're saying, that people might have seen it, but scrolled straight past, because whatever was there didn't really connect to their world in the way that makes them stop scrolling, right? So there is that. And then the next piece is like, okay, so now maybe I have had a second look, you know, okay, so where next? That's, you know, what's the path? So the problem, I think the first step is to identify which one is it.
I'll take over. Identify which one is it. Anchor's had a great, one of those horrible coughs for about a good week or so. So identify, are you okay? Identify which one is it. Is it that you're actually being seen, you're not being seen, or is it that you are being seen and you could be drawing the wrong conclusion as to why somebody is or isn't buying from you? And that unwraps a nice little hornet's nest, doesn't it? So I'll just wait for Anchor, if she feels like she's able to carry on, I'll take over. So in terms of being seen, just want to cast your mind a minute just to your own social media feed. Let's just do that a minute. While you're on here, grab your phone, whether it's Facebook or LinkedIn, okay? And I want you to just hook on to your news feed, okay? And I want you to just scroll. Think about a challenge that you would love to have fixed, you know, in the next week. It could be anything. It could be health, it could be business, it could be a home manager, it could be completely different, it could be around your dog, doesn't matter. But just scroll through your feed and see how you are trying to work out what you need. Is there anything relevant there? What are you landing on? How many people are you going past? Are certain things grabbing your attention? Are they not? And if so, why do they grab your attention? Now, we all know things grab our attention because they are maybe vibrantly colored, or they've got a lot of noise going, etc. But that doesn't necessarily answer your question or solve your problem. So visibility isn't just about, it is about capturing attention, but it isn't just about gregariously capturing our attention. Imagine your clients are searching for you. How do you want them to see you? What kind of message do you want them to stop at? How do you want to point them? Is there something you want to point them towards? If you've got a video up or an audio, or an image of yourself or a message, how is that truly representing you or leading them in, as Anka said, to the next part? Because isn't that, we're just using social media here because it is something that we all have to be on. But I know that many people struggle with visibility around social media because it's noisy, me included. I really couldn't see a lot of points until I understood the strategy that my job is to use social media to point them to a way, a deeper way of considering my work. Could be through this. You're here, some of you, because you've seen this on LinkedIn and you've come into the room. So when you're in the room with us, or you're listening to a podcast, or you're in some level of conversation, you're going to be in a different space of intimacy, or maybe going towards trust with us. So for me, that visibility is about a representation of us so that it can lead people along a journey, that journey of a little bit more trust, a little bit more relatability, that gives them the opportunity to consider the work that you do and to come to a conclusion, which is around considering and then converting, which is slightly different topics, but actually coming along the journey to work with you or to work with us. So strategic visibility is a plan around that. And it means then that we have to know who it is that we want to be visible to, and how and where are they even consuming it, and how are we going to strategically create the types of messages, the types of material that will lead them along that faster. I think jargon words would be a pipeline. Another jargon word is a funnel. But if we really look at it, it's a channel. It's an opportunity. It's leading them like breadcrumbs to get closer to us so that they can consider us as a serious contender for working with them and help them. Anka, how are you feeling? Are you able to take over?
Yeah, better. Good. It's like, you know, anyway. I think the piece that I feel is tricky in this is to determine what those pieces, those breadcrumbs need to be. Because, and I think, you know, we've all been there. So like nobody talks from a high horse here, but there is that we all suffer a little bit from the expert's curse, right? There's always like, you know, like this is what they really need to know, right? So there's the piece that you know that if people just knew this, it would make all the difference. The problem is in 99.9% of the cases, that's not what people pay attention to because it's not on their radar. It doesn't connect the dots for them. So usually you put out, I'd be curious to hear whether that's ever happened to you, whether you posted, you explained, you unpacked something where you think, Jesus, that's come out like really solid. Like, God, I really love, like this is so valuable for somebody. And people go like, yeah, I don't know, well, whatever. Like, and literally don't, you know, and that happens a lot, you know, because if what we're saying isn't where their headspace, where they are in their mind, it doesn't register. You know, it's like the good old, you know, oh, I'm going to buy a yellow car. Next thing you know, like all you see is yellow cars. If you don't have a yellow car, they're not going to see it. It's not that their purpose, that they ignore you on purpose. It's just like what you talk about doesn't register. So that requires you to really know what's going on for them. And sometimes you might even feel kind of awkward in a sense of like, yeah, but that's not like, but that's not true. Like you don't even want to say it, right? It's that's the hard part in all of this, you know, to kind of have this first touch point and then like, okay, so what else do they need? What else do they need? That's why, you know, people will always bang on about how well you need to know your audience in order to get that right. So it's deceptively simple. It's kind of easy, but not, you know, it's simple, but not easy.
So just sharing a little bit about my journey with visibility and what I found easy, what I found difficult, or what worked and what didn't work. And what I see about it now. And and where the strategy is when it was, so let's just say pre-lockdown, like, you know, pre-lockdown, there were things that I did that are starting to come back now much more, but they're not as back as they used to be. So one of the things that I used to do is I ran a very local business at the time. So if I was being seen locally through public speaking, through events locally, networking locally, it worked brilliant. And I think that is still the case. There is a space for actually looking at what you do locally. And social media backs that up, as it were. You throw in the mix where we're now online, or your businesses are wholly online, or you're now with a global audience, and it becomes far more challenging because it's far noisier, far more difficult to get that traction. So when I had to go online, I had about 90 minutes to go online when my husband had a cardiac arrest in 2019. And I had 90 minutes to turn my whole offline training business online. And I remember the first sort of 18 months feeling probably like a deer caught in the headlights, like many people do, because I would be scrolling it down like you. It's like if you spend any time scrolling, you're either struggling with imposter syndrome or just overwhelmed nature of just what you see coming at you. You almost don't know where to decide to put yourself in the middle of all of that. But I couldn't see the point, because when I'd done direct speaking or I'd done things directly to people that they could see me, it was very easy for people at that time to suddenly want to work with me. It was very easy. I would go and do a talk, etc., and suddenly people would be like, yes, I really want you to help me. Turn that online and it became an absolute like nightmare. Posting didn't do it. Posting alone didn't do it, because as Anchor said, who's seeing it and who's not seeing it? Doing certain things that I thought people would find valuable didn't do it, because it was maybe talking to the point, as Anchor said, of what I thought they needed rather than potentially what they were interested or would catch their eye on what they were looking for. So I had about an 18-month, what I call a visibility hangover. You literally were just wanting to take an Alka-Seltzer and just hide under the duvet, because to me, it just felt like a lot of effort for no reward. And if, as anybody who knows me long term, I like to close the gap between the effort that I'm making and the reward that I'm taking. So it wasn't until I actually saw the purpose of visibility as being different aspects of it. There's that visibility needed to do different jobs. Either it needed to make me aware to people, in which case the message, at least first of all, deciding what was visibility about for me. That I think that's the first one. It's like, what does visibility to the people that you are trying to get towards look like for you? So I needed to get some awareness from people. Then I had to decide what level of visibility to that. Some of it might not be what the accepted people tell you to be. There are lots of routes to getting this right. So it's about, for me, it was first of all, like, what did I mean by awareness? What did I want them to be aware of? The second part is, how was I going to get them to have a conversation with me? How was I going to turn that initial visibility into a conversation? And then there had to be a process and a thought out nature around that. And that required, and that's where things like the DMs or a lead magnet or being able to have an email list or being able to have a CRM system, being able to get into a conversation with somebody becomes very, very powerful. So to me, your visibility has to do one job and one job only. It's not necessarily straight away as a coach consultant or a solopreneur to go from cold to sold, but it's your visibility was to get people into a more intimate conversation with me. That's when I could actually start to find out, number one, if they were even the right person and could I help them? And then I could work out how I found more of them. So it was, what did I want them to know about me? Who did I want to attract with that? Anchor, do you want to finish off? And then we'll open up for questions.
Yeah, because you just really beautifully illustrated this whole concept of bringing people into your inner circle, just bringing them closer. And I always remember where I got coached, and the guy says to me, you know, draw a circle on a piece of paper, right? That's your inner circle. These are the people who know you. These are the people who will pick up the phone when you call, and then draw another circle around that. You know, that's people who know somebody, you know, like on LinkedIn, your second level connections. And then there's the third circle. There are people further out there. And he said the biggest problem with most marketing efforts, and why marketing so often visibility feels kind of awkward and creepy, is because we aim at these kind of unknown people beyond the third circle, right? So whereas like clients for a service-based business will always come out of that inner circle. I mean, he said this very bluntly, and I'm like, looking back all these years later, I'm like, he was right. You know, he was totally right. So which means that the job has just suddenly become a lot simpler, just like you were saying just then. You know, it's like, it isn't about selling anybody, strangers, something. It's about the only job you have is to bring people closer to that inner circle, right? And so it kind of takes, for me, it really made a big difference because it took all the creepiness out of it. So it's literally like, what can you do to bring people closer into your inner circle? And the less they know you, and the less they are aware of the problem you solve, the smaller these steps and the gentler these steps need to be. You know, if there's somebody you come across, I'm like, oh my God, this is like what you've got, like speaking, I've got a talk coming up, so I need you. You don't need them to jump through a lot of hoops. It'd be literally like, let's hop on a call, I can help. That's all. You know, if somebody isn't really sure whether speaking is even a thing, you might need some other little steps in between. So, you know, but at the end of the day, if it's always about bringing people into that inner circle, then you can get creative in a different way. And it's also a lot less creepy and pouncy and sleazy and uncomfortable.
So if we conceptualize it, it's much more about, instead of visibility being, how can I get my stuff out there? It's much more about, how can I draw them closer towards me? And then everybody will have a plan or their own strategy, which can be understood and worked out, that's going to make sense for them. Some of the things that I knew initially for me is podcasting meant that I could stay in my PJs if I needed to. Do you know what I mean? I didn't have to put my makeup on, you know, I didn't have to do it. But at the same time, I love these kind of hot seat group session kind of talks around things. So I'm prepared once a week to stick my makeup on to do that. But if I had to, but again, you know, for somebody this, they might go, right, I'm out about all the time. And it's great if it, the type of business I've got is if I'm taking, you know, reels of the places that I'm at and the places that I'm going and the people that I'm seeing, that works perfectly to kind of attract other people. And this is why we kind of have to, it's not always a linear process, but it's starting that, at least the process of, how do I attract them closer to me versus how do I getting is a bit two-sided coin, isn't it? Because I'm going to probably have to take some steps outside my comfort zone or do different things in order to attract people to me. But at the same time, it's still about, how do I bring them closer rather than how do I get it out there? Because getting it out there is just random, like a spray can. And you might get it out there, but it's like, imagine like a spray can. It doesn't really land on anything, does it? Whereas if you are like a fishing rod and you are clear around which lake you're fishing in and the type of, you know, literally that's where the idea of clickbait came from, is how to actually get the right type of thing so that somebody, that right fish that's right for you, just actually starts to go, oh, that's an interesting thing to stop on. Oh, that's an interesting thing to pay attention to. So, okay, yeah, please do. You can share your things in the chat. Jodie's put her LinkedIn there. Please do feel free to share with each other. So Susan said, so you want to connect and you need to use the most effective means to start that connection. Yeah, and you've got to work out what that looks like for you. So Susan, do you have a question? We're going to open it up for some questions. So Susan, do you have a question? It's like, think about it. It's like, visibility is about, how do we create those connections with people that draw them into knowing more about you, and we need a strategy around that.
I don't have a question, but an observation. Okay. from what you said about those circles. And you're quite right to start with that inner circle. So if you've established a sound relationship with that inner circle, and they know, for instance, I belong to a network, and every week I've got to give a 60-second presentation. Mm-hmm. And I thought, instead of telling them what I do, I asked two of them, what do you think I do? And they were right on. So if those closest to you know what you do, they can start the ripple and spread the word for you. That's how I look at it.
That's one way of looking at visibility. Mm. Absolutely. Yeah. So there is strategic networking.
Yes.
And, you know, and then the next piece is what else? Because is like, if we get a lot from that particular network, that's great. Mm. I'll give you an example. I'm working with a client right now who is very visible via one channel. She gets a lot of her referrals as a therapist from a directory. That worked great for her in the pandemic when everybody was using the directory, until everybody now wanted to go back to face-to-face, and she didn't want to go back to face-to-face, and she lost half of her client bank because she had not created a presence or a visibility strategy that relied on that actually brought in other things other than. So it's a little bit outside, but it's like there is an importance of actually looking at different places of visibility so that all of the eggs are not necessarily in one basket, but that we look at what is actually giving us the most return for the effort in that. And it might just be that we find one or two spaces, like a particular networking event, or it might be something that we do online or a group that we create, etc. But either way, we're looking at those things that move the needle, or as they say, is make the boat go faster. What will make the boat go faster? What will draw them more to us? Thanks, Susan.
I like what Sylvia said about energy. I know I need to conserve my energy. So deliberately, I don't work with a lot of people because I'd rather work in depth with a few. So therefore, energy conservation is top of my pops.
I mean, that's fair enough. You know, like, you don't need, especially if you work like intensely with that. So that means you don't need to kind of dance on the table to reach like 10,000 people. Like, you know, you just need a small amount, but the principle in essence is the same, you know? So whereas like, I'm like the referrals and that throws network, like I'm big on that. I always say all the good things in my life has come through people I know. Mm-hmm. And it's only the first step. So the piece, it's only one part of that strategy. The other piece, you know, and I'd be curious to hear, say you're in this group, people send people your way, you know, how do you maintain them in your inner circle? How do you continue the conversation until they're ready to buy? Because again, not everybody, oh yeah, Susan, that's interesting, you know, oh yeah. And then, you know, like, just because they know about you now doesn't, like, not everybody is kind of like ready to go. So it's still
true.
Do you have an email list? Do you have a podcast? Do you have something else to continue that conversation until they're ready to buy? So the, even if they come in through a referral, it's only one piece of the puzzle.
True.
Thank you for that. So I'm just gonna pop in and answer one of the other questions as well. And I'll go into Sylvia's, and I've got Jodie's right after it. So, and it comes right onto the back of it. So I think it's gonna also help your question and your thing about energy management, which I think is a real vital one. And I'm just gonna say this because we've got all women on here, is I think somewhere between, for me, 45, 55 plus, energy management becomes absolutely vital for a female. I have not got the same level of energy to do things as I had when I was about, you know, 15 or 20, nowhere near it, and neither do I want to either. So I'm going to say something that I've observed happening around visibility. It happened with me, so I know it, is that when you are, and women are still The Rose Report stated that women have still got at least twice as many caring responsibilities as men when growing a business. So it's a really valid question, Susan, around visibility. And Sylvia's is like, how do you be strategically visible and balance your mental energy? Does strategic visibility mean you have to be everywhere? I know it doesn't, but how to be strategic? Beautiful and beautifully put. So let's really look at it, because this idea of visibility is this thing, isn't it? Gosh, as we said, it's like one channel isn't enough, potentially, is it? You know, and also we're potentially leaving more opportunity on the table. You know, there's the bigger the list doesn't necessarily always mean the right number of clients when if you haven't got the message right. But if the message is on point, if what you're doing is on point and you've got the right type of clients, then clearly you're going to have much more opportunity and much more profitability if you've got a wider pool of people seeing your stuff. But to balance that out when you are dealing with a whole bunch of other stuff and when you are, you know, that energy piece becomes, I think it almost becomes a reason why women step back rather than actually look for what they can use to actually create more visibility for them without them having to do more. Doesn't mean we don't have to set a few things up on the front end, but then it needs to work. So I'll give you some examples. Podcast is one of them. It's, you know, I'm not just saying it's the only one. It's like podcast or a weekly event or something where that feels good to you. Now, for somebody, they would hate doing a weekly event. They would feel that was exhausting. And for somebody else, they'd look at that and go, that's doable, okay? For somebody else, they would say, I love writing long posts or I love, you know, going to networking events. So I think you have to choose, first of all, a visibility piece that feels that is doable for you, that you actually want to do and show up to. That's number one, because, you know, there is some energy around that. But for me, say, for instance, I knew that lots of networking isn't necessarily, like, lots of networking is pretty pointless. Belonging to one good network and really using it and utilizing it, I belong to a global one because I get my clients are coming to me globally. So the opportunities are different. So it's like my strategy, if you think about it, it's like, okay, I want to conserve my energy. What's my strategy going to be? How can I get the most from the thing that I'm doing? If you think about it, it's like Anchor, it's like software, isn't it? It's like, how many of us have got a piece of software and we use a bare minimum of it? You know what I mean? We haven't got a clue really about all of its functions and capabilities. And then the next minute we're dancing off to the next thing to try the next thing. And we don't really know much about that. And we've got almost like a surface level knowledge of just about everything and not a deep level. So many people will say, pick one platform or, you know, and really go deep into it if you know that majority of your clients are going to be there. So if you are, you know, in professional services, say you're a lawyer, they're probably not going to be on, you know, I'm not going to say they're not on TikTok, but you're probably going to find that they're mostly going to be on LinkedIn. So there is some obviousness or common sense to this. But to answer the question around it, it doesn't. But there's two things you've got to look at is, I think, automation on some of it and choice and really using from if you're choosing a platform, if you're choosing a network, if you're choosing it, then do it for at least three months and squeeze every ounce out of it, because many people will go and try something short term, it's not working, and they're dancing onto the next thing. You're not going to know. So some people have to build up a professional network. For other people, it might be that they have a book or they need to be on different podcasts or they need to be wider. So again, look at the service or the thing that you're actually selling at the end of the day and what actually, you know, what makes sense. If you're selling a book, it doesn't make any sense to just be in one network with about 20 people. It's not going to make any sense at all. But if you're a local corporate trainer, it might make very good sense to be in a local network where you can have access to the local market. Anchor, is there anything you want to say before we look at Jodie's question? Oh, you're on mute.
I had something and now I'm blanking on it. So just keep going. I'm just
blank. Okay, so Sylvia, like, I get it. It's like, so talk to me. It's like that bit around mental well-being and doing too much. It's like we can overwhelm ourselves incredibly quickly, can't we? Is there anything that you're hearing in what I've said that's helpful to actually look at this?
Yes, absolutely. I actually challenged myself to be visible on LinkedIn for 3 months. I wanted to post 3 times per week. And by month 2, I was exhausted and I didn't give myself permission to take a break. And it was actually you who inspired me to take a break for a week. And it was incredible that I had to hear it from, you know, from outside source. I didn't let myself, because I thought I would be a failure if I don't finish that 3 month period. And now after that week break, I can feel my new energies, and I'm willing to at least end that 3 month period with a bang. So I guess taking a break is difficult to decide on.
Well, it's because we think that we've got to be on all the time. And as a solopreneur, you can't be on all the time.
And so, not everywhere, not all the time. Not everywhere.
Yes. No. Applying that pressure, I think it's what can burn you out, really.
And it's helpful to remember that the only person pressuring is you.
Yes.
You know, because, yes, there is something to be said for consistency. So, you know, if you go and every now and then you pop up and then you're gone for a few months, you know, and I have examples of people who do that and they just have no problem at all. Every time they come back, it's like, oh my God, where have you been? Right. So I don't think it is that as a guideline to say like be, but I think it's better to post once a week and have something that you can keep up with. Then like running yourself into the ground, and then you can be like, oh Jesus, this stuff my head in, and then you won't do it. Right. So I think it's not necessarily needed to be, you know, on all the time and everywhere and whatever. And I think you'll also see over time which channels work best and which ones are, you know, because what you want to do, that's the starting point. Because if you pick something that you not enjoy doing, ain't gonna happen, right? So, but the other piece is also like, what is it that people are responding to? So I think there is that piece. It does get simpler because you in the beginning you try, oh, let me try this, and maybe TikTok, maybe Instagram, and it's like, you know, but then like you quickly realize, well, actually, yeah, Instagram is a pain in the ass. I don't like it. People don't respond. LinkedIn works well, so you can just kind of narrow it in to a couple of things, you know, that you can, you know, also where can you reuse a lot of the stuff, you know, like I will create a piece of content and then I'll use it for to send it to my email list, and then I create a cute little picture for it, and then it goes on LinkedIn, and then I also put it on Facebook or whatever, you know. So, and it's the one piece of content that serves in, you know, in different ways. Or say, you know, when people go, it's like, oh, actually I create a video and then I can use the clips to create the content. So it's almost like, how can you get creative to be consistently visible with the least amount of effort?
So I think let's just move on to the next question. And there's something I want to, if you can grab the diary link, Anko. So Jodie, you've got, I have a challenge at the moment. We love a challenge, Jodie. Regarding strategic positioning of a service for something where the associated legislation hasn't been published yet. Do you want to unmute yourself and give me some context? Because I know you've been in business for a long time and the type of work you do is service-based, but it's product-based, isn't it, as well, around software and around legislation. So I'm not sure if that's still the business that you've got or whether you've changed it. So do you want to just fill me in?
No, you're absolutely right.
Cool.
So that's still the service that we provide.
Yeah.
However, a couple of Christmases ago, I was reading the public inquiry from the attack on Manchester Arena, and it was on the back of that I realised that there were so many missed opportunities in terms of, you know, failures against existing health and safety legislation, failures against existing security procedures. So I formed this brand Protect Alliance UK, which you may have seen online. And there is draft legislation. So this is it here, the Terrorism Protection of Premises Draft Bill. Otherwise known, what you might have heard of in the news is Martin's Law. And Martin Hepp is one of the 22 people who died in Manchester that night. So we've got a whole service, and the Alliance is bringing together. We're working with other service providers or product providers who can help in some way, help organisations to meet their legal obligations under what will be Martin's Law or the Terrorism Protection of Premises Bill. So at the moment, we've played our cards early. We have been positioning ourselves from various expos, doing webinars every couple of weeks. So we're positioning ourselves. We're starting to get the right kind of followers, which is great. But it's still, I know it's going to take until the legislation is actually enacted before we really see a shift in the volume of people signing up. But it is a special challenge. We're trying to promote this, but to do it also in the right way, because whilst what we're trying to do is to help people, is basically save lives, we also have to be really sensitive to the fact that people have died in order for this even to be getting talked about. So we have to be really, really sensitive with the way that we approach this. And funnily enough, I've got a meeting tonight with other organisations involved in the Alliance to make sure we're keeping in touch with the right tone of voice as far as promoting these services. So we have to be very mindful of what we're doing, but it makes it a challenge because the legislation isn't out there yet. So that's the challenge.
So what would you see as the biggest challenge for you personally? Is it positioning it more, is it sensitively, is it attracting more people to it? What is the biggest challenge right now?
In the first instance, I've actually been shocked at how little awareness there is, because when I've started doing I've actually been a guest speaker in Cardiff and at Fareham within the last 12 months, and actually even when I've had stands there, people haven't known about the legislation. They haven't known that if they've got premises that have a crowd capacity of over 100 people, they will have to do something different. So in the first instance, it's raising awareness of the fact this legislation is coming and there will be things that need to be done. It doesn't help that because the legislation hasn't been enacted yet, some of the things that people will need to do, like registering with regulators, the regulator hasn't been named, so I can't guide anybody in terms of who they have to register with or what that process looks like. So some of the challenges are around awareness of the legislation and communicating with the right kinds of people to say this is coming, and then maintaining the dialogue, I guess, until because they will have to do something, and compliance will be a big part of what they need to do.
Perfect. Okay. So I'll the strategy around this for me is you've got to get in touch with the right people, and then you've got to keep them ticking over until the right time comes.
Yes.
Okay. And so so in terms of strategy, it's for me, think about, instead of just going out there, because when you said you probably heard it online, I thought this is a perfect example. I know you well. I've not seen any of it. And that's not because I haven't been looking. It's because wherever the algorithm decided to send your stuff, it wasn't towards me. Now, there's the problem, is that the awareness piece, I think, is one of the hardest pieces, because we're not in charge of the algorithm. You know, here's what we are in charge of. We are in charge of either putting something on ourselves and physically inviting people. So just say for LinkedIn, you can call, have you got the right people in your LinkedIn? Have you got the right, you know, kind of connections? Can you start looking and adding in and searching for the right types of businesses? Look for three types of people, okay? The first type is your champions, the ones that are championing you. It could be other people in the alliance that can share that, etc. You know, the right type of people. So they are the ones that are invested in it with you. For could be a mentor, could be somebody other in the industry that it's going to benefit, could be somebody in the alliance, but they're going to champion it with you. Second type of people is momentum partners. Now, these are people that are not in competition with you, but are going to benefit at the same time and can also benefit each other. But again, you'd said venues, okay? So look at, you know, the venues that can have capacity, the hotels, the conference places, all of these people. Who's in charge of the venue? Who do you need to be in contact with? Who becomes the momentum partner? Because they will have access to all of the people that are hiring those places, all of the different businesses that could hire or to put these things on at the same time. That's one thing. So I'm looking for momentum partners. Then there's potentially the ones that could be potentially client-based for the stuff at the end of that are going to need it. And so, again, if you've got something around this, like whether it's a webinar, whether it's a report, whether it's something that you can have and you can create an email list where you can create a holding bay for these people to be in your world that you can then actually start to share stuff with on a weekly basis. So a LinkedIn newsletter is quite a good way of doing that because it will go to your contacts if you've got them. But more importantly, if you can get them onto an email list, then you have them in the holding bay, which means that you can keep the awareness going. You can start the education piece, knowing that pretty much you can see who's opening it, who's not. So the key here is exactly what we were saying, is being strategic is about picking the types of businesses, picking the type of people, and using the things on social media, using the ability to search for different types of people, using the ability to actually connect with people, just, you know, just like straight off, as it were, rather than just posting the content but not following through with it. I would be wanting to create a plan to actually how we would then, first of all, you know, what is the pieces that we're going to put out on social media? How do we start to connect with more people within those different types of industries that can actually potentially see that? How do we get them into a conversation? How do we get them onto an email list? And then you're in the place to actually start to work with these people. So it's not just attraction where we throw something out and just hope they come back to us. It's actually like, how can we be proactive with even cultivating and curating the right audience and then leading them back into your world so that when this legislation is, they're already sitting there waiting for these pieces to come in and you are the go-to person that they're coming to help them kind of put pieces of the legislation in place, that they become aware of it. The next piece is, how do they consider you, like you coming back into your world so that you can give them the information? That's the consideration piece. The conversion bit isn't going to happen until truly the legislation has actually come in. It won't, exactly. But you're in the bit with, is how do you turn awareness into getting them to consider you? And so it's not consider you to buy immediately. It's consider to come into your world so that you can continue to feed them with the understanding and the education while they're carrying on what they're doing. And so you become top of mind when you're able to say, right, it's coming in. This needs to be in place in 3 months' time. You then are in a strategic position to actually, you know these people. So you don't need millions of people, but so they need to be more known to you rather than just sort of, you know, that kind of poster, you know, like doing a webinar, etc. I would be sort of, if I would be doing it, I would maybe be, instead of doing a webinar to just invite anybody, I would be maybe creating a round table and inviting specific people from different companies to actually come onto that, whether it's Zoom or whatever, and actually having a round table where you can facilitate that. It's like this, but it's a little bit smaller, a little bit more curated. And so it's more defined. And I think that might work quite well for what you're looking to do.
Okay.
And also now is a good time to start with that. I think a lot of the time it's, you know, you see it a lot when people write a book or something. It's like, oh, I've got the book, so now I need an audience. Like, okay. You know, so you just literally you want to start now, you know, so you start to find your voice and also you give people that time to, isn't that interesting? Especially in your case, what I've heard, there's quite a bit of education to be done for people to even be aware of the problem and the implication of not the implications of not doing anything about it. So you kind of almost need a bit of time. So this is like a perfect time to start now, so that by the time this comes out, and we've all seen it play out with this whole email deliverability thing, you know, the moment February came and Google and Yahoo all of a sudden is like, oh my God, you have to be authenticated. And then all of a sudden, all these people came out of the woodworks. And I don't know, you know, well, I get help from the people that I already know, who I already trust, right? So you have a much, much better chance that by the time that comes around, that people are already familiar with you. So you've got a golden chance to start this now that the legislation isn't even out yet.
So in the chat, those of you that are in the Visible Club, obviously you can come in and ask those questions in there. But if you're here, Jodie or Vicky or Susan, there's a link there to book a strategy call with me. If you want to, you know, three areas here really, which is where do you need that strategy to be? A bit like you, Jodie. I mean, if you want to map that out a little bit further, then feel free, book a call. Where do you want that strategy to try and take you? Where are you trying to take yourself and what you're trying to do in the next 12 months? What have you already got in place? This is what we're going to look at. What's already in place? We're going to look at where the gaps are. And something that I particularly love is what is the opportunity? And because it's more about what is the opportunity that you can create with your visibility that strategically can actually position you and put those in place. So if you want to, please do book a call. We can actually do that strategy together. That's my favourite thing, is to sit there and put the strategy together. I salivate over it on a daily basis. Vicky will know how much I love a good strategy. So, please be Jodie, if you want to book in a call, and we can map it all out. I'd be more than happy to do that. Susan, if you want to have a look at strategy for what you're trying to do, that in a way that manages your energy, more than happy to have that conversation with you. So the link's in the chat there. So please do just book in, and you and I will have a good, you know, a good chat on the other end, and see how we can help you to do that. Okay, so we've got chance for like an extra question. So who has got a final question before we go? Anybody?
I'm wondering, Jodie.
Yeah, go, Susan.
There are people, because of the work that you're doing, are you connected with anybody politically?
Not really, no.
Your local MP maybe, or Manchester MP?
No, hadn't thought of MPs. that's not normally a first port of call for me, but no, certainly something to think about. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Susan. Have a little think. Yeah. Is there anybody, any other questions? So what visibility strategies are working for you then, or aren't working for you? What have you found that's worked or that hasn't worked?
I was going to put it in the chat, but it's probably just easier to
so is to just speak. Talk to me.
So what I have been doing so far includes we have got a very targeted list. So we're doing targeted emails out, which go out to people who know exactly why they're on the list. For instance, we had a talk with one of our alliance members the other day on communications. That invite went out to schools because she the education sector, because the speaker was a specialist in the education sector, and to people who had previously expressed an interest in attending our webinars. So it went out to two separate groups, and they knew exactly why they were getting it, and that helped to get extra people signing up. We've got a LinkedIn page which is growing steadily. And I noticed that although we've only got a small number of people on our YouTube page, I noticed that that's growing in, okay, there's only seven people on there, but I've only actually been aware of being notified by about three people. So the others are starting to grow as they see more and more content. So those are things that have been working. It's just a long, slow process at the moment.
So the ones that you're looking at, other than getting them on the email list initially, are the what I call things like the YouTube channel, etc. They're going to be the slower ones. They are still, certain things are still needed, if that makes sense. And maybe the choice around that and energy management is huge. And I think that then there's more direct things that can be done around the strategy to get them into your world quicker, get the right type of people into your world quicker. What you're doing around the outside is what I call brand awareness. So if you go to a marketer or a brand marketer and they'll say, we need to raise your profile, we need to get more awareness around you. And they're not wrong. However, that awareness is not always under your control, exactly who sees it, how they see it, how they see it. So I think there's a combination where we don't just have one, and because it doesn't necessarily move the needle quicker, but it will actually create the presence long term. And actually also look at, I'd be really interested to look at what are the things right now that actually get you in front of the right type of people right now, so that if somebody starts to press this legislation button sooner rather than later, or there's things that you can help them with right now, you get into their world quicker rather than just waiting for them to come across you on YouTube or et cetera, you know, or waiting for them to come across you somewhere. It's not that we don't need the awareness, the generalized awareness, but I think any generalized awareness for me needs to, if we can back that up with some strategy, as how are we going to get more people to see that now, and how and where are we going to take them from that, can we even bypass some of that and get them on into our world quicker, so that there's a way for both. I'd be really excited to hope you book in, Jodie, because I'd be excited to kind of like map it all out and to see where it is. I just think there's some interesting routes in there. So in terms of where we're finished now, we are at time. So thank you for being with us, and strategic visibility. I hope it's given you some food for thought. And if you are finding that you're doing things that are not moving the needle forward, but they are maybe what I call the bigger brand awareness, consider what you need right now and what you will need somewhere along the journey. Some things are really good for right now, and some things are good for another time. So until next time, we will see you soon, until next week. And next week, we are actually talking around audiences and around, do you really know how to get in touch with your niche? So that will be our next topic next week. How do you really know how to get in touch with your niche? Until then, have a great day, and we'll speak to you soon. Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to the Visible Coaches podcast. If you've ever felt the pressure to market yourself in ways that don't align with your true nature, this podcast is your sanctuary. If you've enjoyed what you've heard so far, make sure to subscribe to the Visible Coaches podcast on your favorite platform. And we would really be grateful if you could leave us a review. Your feedback means the world to us, and it helps us reach more introverted coaches like you. Visit thevisiblecoachespodcast.com now. That's thevisiblecoachespodcast.com. Let's continue to embrace our introverted strength, create meaningful connections, and make waves in the coaching world. Until next time.